The views expressed on this special broadcast of the Take 12 Radio Show do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting or its affiliates. KHLT is not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
A very scary experience.
You know, God is a solution. God, the 12th step.
I like where he's going here.
Helps the community grow, helps us grow. Bonnie has done a phenomenal job.
And you're talking about taking people through a spiritual process, getting them into recovery.
Thanks, Monty, and thanks for all your support.
We need spirituality to make this thing work long term.
It's an absolute pleasure. He certainly knows a lot of people.
This is one of the places that is about the business of the solution.
And now, broadcasting on location somewhere in the vast expanse of the Pacific Northwest, it's the over-opinionated 12-stepologist, the Monty Man.
I am your host, the Monty Man. Welcome to another episode of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show. Let's jump right into this week, shall we? Now, on occasion, I enjoy going back into the archives and reviewing some of our shows, some of our best shows, and sharing them with you. Now, this week, we're bringing from the archives a show with my co-host Mason and Brad, and a special guest that we had invited in the studio, Devin. Now, all of us are members of the 12-step recovery community, and we're sitting down talking about 12-step meeting addiction. Let's see what that's all about. Let's join the gang for this episode of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show from September 2010. Addiction to meetings. Now, I'm going to read you a little article here. I thought this was interesting. The church will be closed tomorrow, and the drunks are freaking out. An elderly lady in a prim white blouse has just delivered the bad news with deep apologies. A major blizzard is scheduled to wallop Manhattan tonight, and up to a foot of snow will cover the ground by dawn. The church, located on the Upper West Side, can't ask its staff to risk a dangerous commute. Unfortunately, that means it must cancel the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting held daily in the basement. Well, a worried murmur ripples through the room. What are we supposed to do? Ask a woman in her mid-20s and smudged black eyeliner. She's in rough shape, having emerged from a multi-day alcohol and cocaine bender that morning. The snow is going to close everything, she says, her cigarette adlibbed voice tinged with panic. Everything. She's on the verge of tears. A mustached man in skin-tight jeans stands and reads off the number for a hotline that provides up-to-the-minute meeting schedules. He assures his fellow alcoholics that some groups will still convene tomorrow despite the weather. Anyone who needs an AA fix will be able to get one, though it may require an icy trek across the city. That won't be a problem for a thick-set man in a baggy beige sweatsuit. Doesn't matter how much snow we get, a foot, 10 feet piled up in front of the door, he says, I will leave my apartment tomorrow and go find a meeting, come hell or high water. He clasps his hands together and draws them to his heart. You understand me? I need this. Daily meetings, the man says, are all that prevent me from winding up dead in the gutter. Shoes gone because I've sold them for booze or crack. And he hasn't had a drink in more than a decade. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This probably paints a pretty accurate picture in a lot of parts of the country. If that were to happen, the meetings close down because of snow. I mean, I know when I lived in Ottumwa, Iowa for a very short period of time, and I remember the ice storms, and I remember how one side of town would be completely closed off. You couldn't get to it because there was only a couple of bridges that went over the river to go over there. And so what happens? You know, what happens when an AA or NA or your 12-step meeting is shut down and you can't get to it? I want to talk about, we spent a lot of time here on Take 12 Radio talking about how important it is not to become meeting dependent, how important it is to become God dependent, because there is going to come a time when you can't get to a meeting and you might be a lot easier for you to get to a drink. And so what do? If the meetings are keeping you sober and you can't get to a meeting, does that mean you drink? Does that mean you use? Right. In a lot of people's cases, the answer is yes to that.
There's even worse things than drinking and using sometimes.
Yeah, like, sometimes
people kill themselves over things. I mean, like,
sure.
There can be the insanity, because the insanity doesn't necessarily, like, you know, like as it says, the bottle or the whatever is just an outward manifestation of the inward thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's the insane thinking. I've heard people about suicide even. Like, it can get bad.
They can't get to a meeting, and so they don't know what to do.
I don't know if it's about necessarily not getting to a meeting, but I've heard of that one. I'm just saying that.
And this can be the case with church, synagogue, a support system, a support group. You know, if I can't get with those group of people, how am I going to make it? You know, and I think that maybe we have taught our fellows that if you don't make it here, if you don't keep coming back, you're going to be one of the losers. You're going, you know, sticking with the winners means you're at a meeting every day, or
it's a great start. It's a great start.
It's a great start. But are we not teaching people, you know, if you're not here, because I hear it all the time, you guys. Well, so and so isn't here. They're cut back. They're coming only twice a week. Something's wrong.
You know, and is that one of the winners saying that?
Good question. And so, if we're teaching people that meetings are what keep you sober, and then something happens and they can't get to one, or they're on vacation or whatever, and the city they're driving through today just doesn't have one, what are we doing? Aren't we giving them a loaded gun?
I believe so, honestly. And not only that, the amount of meetings as well, I feel it gives you, I don't know, an excuse to not do your step work. Honestly, not work those steps.
Good point.
Seriously, I don't know if I don't need it. Important to me, because I worked pretty much a 2 week long 11th step the last few weeks. I'd made it to very few meetings in the last, two or three meetings in the last 2 weeks. But I had a great week. Because if the book is right and my sobriety depends on my spiritual condition, then my sobriety is doing great. I've been practicing every principle of the program in my everyday life. So my condition has been, I've been doing great. Not to say those meetings aren't important, because I went to a meeting yesterday and specifically certain people needed to talk to me, and I heard some great things from people that improved what I'd say would be my spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't want to doubt the importance of meetings either, but that right. dependency wasn't there. I was able to practice everything in my life, which is important too. You have to live a life. You can't just, because if that meeting wasn't there, would I have been able to stay sober? Yeah, I found that out within the past, just recently. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had thought I'd become complacent too, which is also possible. But
When you see somebody every day, mm-hmm. or every other day on a regular basis for a long time, then all of a sudden they vanish, or it appears that they vanished for like a week or 2 weeks. Because of who we are, we highly suspect something's wrong.
Yeah.
If we haven't heard anything.
That's first thought wrong, and a lot of people do that.
Right.
Sometimes meetings just flatline, and mm-hmm. you get a little bored,
mm-hmm.
and to take some time off isn't a bad thing. But you have to be... ready for it,
I think
know that you're going to take a couple of days off. And
well, if you have a scale and you want to stay balanced, if you're going to remove pieces from one side, you need to put something in its place.
Yeah.
So what is it? Okay, if a person goes on vacation and they don't know if they're going to get to meetings very often, and they prefer to do that, it's a part of their day. I'm not saying they're meeting dependent, but it's part of their ritual. So maybe they need to call their sponsor mm-hmm. a little more often while they're on vacation. or, you know, replace it with something, or have their nose in the literature a little bit more, or maybe up their prayer life.
That's the biggest part for me, is the literature. That's honestly what AA meetings are about for me, is that AA program that's in that book. And as opposed to, I got to a point where I couldn't handle meetings for a while because I was hearing people talk about just so much stuff that was just there every day. I don't know. It was being used as a personal clubhouse where people could go and complain about little things. And I think at that point, maybe for other people's help, those people could not use it. It could take a break from meetings as well when you're there every day, you know. And not only, I don't know, it gets to a point where just people, it becomes routine, which I guess structure is great. But when it comes to a point where it's routine, are you really working the spiritual program? Because if anything, routine is not, I don't know, I feel farther away from that spiritual, that higher power or whatever, especially like church, especially for me. Like, I haven't really done well with church, but I've seen a lot of people church dependent. They're dependent on their pastor. They're dependent on they're dependent on those people there for God, when instead of being God dependent, they're people dependent for that connection to God. And that's not what it should be. They need that power working in their life in every area of their life. And that's what I need for everything. I need it working in every area of my life. And it's, if I don't have a life, I don't know.
And I want to touch on the importance of meetings, or the importance of church, or your support group, or whatever.
Please do.
As well. But we'll get to that in a minute. What do you think, Devin? You think people could become meeting dependent?
Yeah, but I have to agree with what you said, Mason, about, you get a couple of meetings in and you're hearing a lot of little complaints about little stuff, and you're not getting anything good out of it. You're leaving there going, you know, I'm not going to come in tomorrow. You know, me personally, I start my day off by talking to my sponsor before I have breakfast or take a shower. That's how I start my day off. And that's a great way to start off. I haven't done meetings every day. You know, I'm in very, very early recovery, you know, and I didn't do the 90-90. There was days where I had to take off because it was just little things, and I wasn't getting anything.
Nitpicking almost.
Yeah, I wasn't getting nitpicking anything. It wasn't helping me. It was hurting me, you know. And so I think, me personally, I'm not dependent on it. You know, I don't feel like I have to. I feel like I have to talk to my sponsor. I feel like I have to start my day off.
Somebody about that knows about the program.
Yeah.
The actual program,
More on a personal level instead of a group level, if that makes sense.
So you got accountability going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, one thing that, I mean, I've been going for a little while, and the AA meeting is one of the biggest places where I have to go in with absolutely no expectations, because I'm going to be let down, you know. And if I start to hear something that I don't like, I have the choice to get up and go outside for a little while.
Stay and grow.
Let it pass.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes you can't. You get you know, anxiety, unfortunately, is you can get it from hearing somebody talk. And that's hard, because then your head starts racing, you know. But one of the things, like I said, that I have done, that I've been able to regularly go to meetings, is to take everything at face value, you know. I mean, not expect anything. And try to understand where the person is coming from, you know. Because what can be little to somebody can be huge to somebody else.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my early recovery, you know, I tried to go to a meeting every day. And I felt that I needed it. But then that need went to a want. Started working here. Great service work. So there was a, you know, the weight thing.
Right, the balance.
You know, and yeah, there are people that you can tell who are very dependent on those meetings. You know, because
they'll tell you that.
And unfortunately, you don't, and you want this to happen for the people, but you don't see really any progress happening. They're stuck in a rut. You know, and you want to help, but most likely you're going to give opinion, you know, and something like that.
Don't you think that, Brad, don't you think that, and you ask us too, because of who we are, you know, addicts, alcoholics, and so forth, and really addicted to compulsivity and so and that kind of thing, that for so many years of our lives, we would do just what it was necessary to get by, you know. And if we were perfectionists and we couldn't do it perfect, we would just do what was necessary mm-hmm. to get by. And so here we come into our 12-step fellowship. I'm not even talking about the program right now, the fellowship. And we say, hey, this is keeping me away from using friends because I can come here every day. This is making me feel good like I've done something, even though I haven't done anything. You know, but in the beginning, it is a big deal. Yeah. In the beginning, I walked into this room. You know, that's an amazing accomplishment. But we get to the point where, okay, this is enough to get by. So that's all we do. And to get a sponsor and work steps and apply the principles in our life, and that just seems awfully overwhelming. I mean, do I really want to put that much effort into this thing when I can just get by? Look at all these other people that all they do is go to meetings and they've been sober for years. Don't you find that we can kind of fall into that? I mean,
oh yeah,
you know,
very easily, as a matter of fact, because the complacency thing. Okay, I'm under the radar, you know, not drinking,
yeah,
so everything is fine. You know, and that's that, what do they call it, state of, where you feel good, so you must be better.
Oh, right, you right. Know. And after all, don't meeting makers make it?
Not all of them.
I mean, it's almost like saying, well, you know, people that make the meetings make it, you know, it's not the people that do the work, it's the people that make the meetings. And that's just not true. Meeting makers, if that's all you're doing, you're just making meetings.
Mm-hmm. There's something for me that I was just thinking of that was the biggest part is a lot of people that are the so-called, the old timers, I guess what you'd consider it.
Yeah.
The people that go there, you know, that most of what they're going for is 12, you know, at least it's claimed is the 12-step work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're going there. But what the biggest part for me is it feels like, especially when I was really early in, that it was almost having the opposite effect. When I was hearing somebody talk about somebody, like, their husband not taking out the trash and not feeding the dogs, and, like, and, you know, me and my life is broken. I don't know what's, you know, it was really
right.
Almost the opposite effect of, you know, I'm like, what? Seriously? You know, right. And it's just like, that's when it was, that becomes reverse 12-step work almost. You're not really...
Mm-hmm.
Showing me, and I'd heard people say, you know, I knew there's a girl, you know, she's like, well, and they were talking about, well, I feel off. I haven't been to a meeting in a week, and you can tell how important these are. And yeah, they are very important, but am I going to be completely off because I haven't made one in a week? No.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some other things with it. But I also wanted to say later about the importance of mm-hmm. them, because, and even the importance of the clubhouse, I didn't necessarily mean it that that's a bad thing as well. Mm-hmm. But there's so many great things that have came out of that. The campouts, the fellowship itself has had amazing factors in my life without the actual work. But also with the meeting isms, you know, the stuff about like taking out the trash or whatever, you know, just little things like just, you know, little nitpicking.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to that, I feel like I can't really... talk about the stuff in the book or the stuff that's actually going on in my actual recovery, because it became a clubhouse where everybody talks about their life as opposed to what how they're working their program. I don't even feel comfortable talking about the spiritual stuff. I just say I've been working my 11th step, even though, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Or I've been, even though what has really been going on is some amazing, cool things. But if we're afraid to say that, but they say it all over the big book, mm-hmm. Is it really a... AA or NA or any of those meetings? Is it really a meeting if, you know, we're not even talking about the stuff in the book?
Or is it just a social time?
Or is it just a social hour where we're all not drinking and using or not?
Because what would happen if we did step up to the plate and those of us who maybe have a little head knowledge about the literature actually listened very closely to the topic and actually shared the application of these spiritual principles with the topic. Wonder what would happen.
I wouldn't. I almost most of the time I don't feel comfortable. I don't think that I'd be coming from a. I don't know what would be my intention of doing that, because
well, hopefully that's what the meeting does.
But it. I've been to very few that have done that, and very
mm-hmm.
usually the larger the meeting, too, the less comfortable the actual spiritual principles of the program are.
And yet,
I've learned that every single step is a spiritual principle. I didn't realize that until the last few
weeks. And yet it needs to be just the opposite. I mean, we need to be the meeting yesterday I thought was awesome.
Yeah, I liked yesterday's meeting a lot.
There was no judge, at least that week that I could feel. A lot of people talked about God openly. A lot of people talked about it were God specific,
and they were also. It was when they talked about not running off of instincts anymore, not mm-hmm. letting being driven by fear, and not being mm-hmm. all these things, not running off of instincts. That's right out of the 12 and 12, right out of how it works. You know that they were talking that stuff. So, and I really got a lot out of yesterday.
Yeah,
and it's basically routine is when I don't get a lot of that. Somebody else chaired yesterday that doesn't usually chair.
Yeah.
And they shared what was personal with them
mm-hmm.
and started it off great is what I think that what mm-hmm. really got it started. But then I know that we've gotten to some places where it's like, well, it's this person's Monday that chairs. It's their Monday. They chair.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that that person doesn't have a faith or something, or they may have a faith, but there's one of them that, you know, really
right.
picks a topic for somebody else.
We
you know, and so it's, I'm choosing not to go on certain days because I know what the motive is, or I know what's going to happen. I think it's more the routine that gets old for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really want to stress on the importance of meetings.
Well, let's talk about that.
I've really gotten to a place where everybody in my life is clean and sober now. I didn't think that was possible, especially at my age, because you know I'm fairly young still. But my whole circle of friends, clean and sober. There's a few that are able to normal drink, which I don't understand, but they don't around me. And right. I've been to the campouts and all these amazing things. And there was one day, I remember you were there, when I didn't know where I was going to even sleep that night. A bunch of crazy stuff had happened. I didn't know where I was going to go, and I was upset, and I was called on in a meeting, and I just kind of said exactly what was going on with me. That's not related to the AA Big Book or anything. That's related to what's going on with me in the fellowship, so that's important too. And a bunch of people stepped up and helped me out. That's important stuff. Yeah. You have to have that. And if I'm in just a desperate place where something's going on with me and I have to share it, share it. I would recommend sharing it to anybody. If you have something going on with you, don't hide it.
Mm-hmm.
If something's truly going on with you, because that has been a saving thing for me multiple times, especially when I didn't have a power greater than myself that I knew of or that I was, you know, following. So, those things have saved me a lot of times. It's just the dependency that's not important. I do need to not be dependent on them.
Yeah.
But they're going to them even semi-regularly is a good thing. I like to go. I like to be there for other people a lot of times, too, if I don't feel like I need one. But then there are times where I feel if I feel like I'm going to get a resentment because somebody's sharing about something I don't want to hear about, then more often than not, if I don't really need one, should I go and get that resentment?
If I
get that, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes the feeling of going there for somebody else overpowers that, you know, where I should go. But then sometimes it gets to the point where I'm like, I don't want to hear this stuff today. But then when that happens, it's usually a problem with me and not with them. I have to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think that sometimes.
Sorry, I talked for a long time.
No, that's really good stuff. Give me an example. I have, and Bruce has been on the show several times, and he and I were talking, and he's done this too. I've actually pulled in the parking lot of a meeting and turned around and just left. Not because I saw somebody's car that I didn't want to see, not because anything was wrong. It just, I don't know, it just didn't, it was like, you know, I really don't want to do this today. I do this every day. You know, I just think I'm going to go home, eat lunch, and, you know, then go back to work after that. I just really don't feel like doing this. Is that an unhealthy thing, or can that be healthy?
I think if you get a gut feeling, you should normally kind of follow it if it feels very sincere.
Yeah.
I mean, if it feels like one, like, I probably should do something else today, then why not? But if there's something you'd rather do, you know what I mean? If it's like a bunch of stuff where it becomes a regular thing, like, I'd rather play video games than go for a long period of time, then obviously that's a different thing. That's something else.
And it's the people that are meeting dependent that'll get on your case.
It is. And I've had a lot of people. I had some people call me out of concern that because they just haven't seen me. They want to know that we're asking how I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some that almost treated me like I wasn't doing well.
Right.
Which in reality, my spiritual condition had been greater than it ever had been.
Yeah.
Where, and I believe like the book is right that my sobriety depends on my spiritual condition.
Mm-hmm.
And all these steps are a thing about that. And you know what? And the biggest part is if I'm not doing inventory, if I'm not, and if I'm not, you know, admitting it, you know, 10, 11, 12, if I'm not doing inventory and admitting when I'm wrong, well, then that's working a bunch of steps first.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't remember that my life is unmanageable and that I need a power greater, if I'm not working every step, basically.
Right.
And if I'm not carrying it with me into what I'm doing, then it might be a time to go to a meeting too. And it's also a time where if I'm not doing that and I'm going to a lot of meetings, then maybe it's time to go to less. It's kind of a balance that you need to find in between the two of them. It's basically, you can say by how well I'm doing inventory or how well I'm maintaining conscious contact.
Hey, that's some great insight, Mason. Thank you. We're going to be rejoining this broadcast. But first of all, I want to tell you about a new book by our good friend and Take 12 Recovery Radio contributor, Dr. Alan Berger, the author of 12 Stupid Things That Mess Up Recovery. His brand new book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, Getting Your Recovery Unstuck. If you're anything like me, if you've been around the rooms of recovery for a long time, sometimes you feel a little stagnant. Sometimes you feel stuck. Well, this book is going to help you get unstuck and put excitement and enthusiasm back into your walk of recovery. 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety is available on Amazon. Please check them out. You can get an autographed copy of this book by visiting abphd.com. All right, now back to our show and a question I have for our special guest, Devin. Devin, what are some of the positive attributes of going to a meeting for you?
Oh, boy. I'm in the process of, I'm in the learning process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in the teaching process as where you are and Brad and Mason is.
Oh, believe me, we're learning too.
We're learning, bud.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know,
I know what you're saying.
I feel like I'm a preschooler, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I have a question. You mentioned how sometimes you pull in and you just get that feeling and you go have some lunch.
Yeah.
Go get some work done. I've had that feeling, but where, okay, maybe I heard something in the first half that's triggered something, and maybe I should just go home before I say something and offend somebody, and it turns into an argument, you know? But I've stayed, and I've wished I had left at break time, you know? But I feel guilty. I feel like, oh, I'm here. I have to stay now, you know? I mean, it's... And I've been told, you know, don't feel guilty. If you feel like you need to leave, leave. The door stays open.
Yeah.
You know, people can come and go, which happens. You know, people walk in, they're there for 5 minutes and walk out, you know, with tons of sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am, you know, I'm like, you know, do I get up right now because I don't like what that guy said? And I'm just angry right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they say to turn your phone off or turn the ringer off. Sometimes in the middle of a meeting, I want to make a phone call. You know?
Yeah, at that point, I think it's meetings.
We make bets on when the first cell phone's going to go off.
Yeah. So I think, again, yeah, I think, you know, we're free to come and go. At the same time, sometimes those are those times to press in and just buck up, you know.
One of the
attributes of meetings for me is I've learned over the years how to become tolerant. I've learned how to not be scared to death when speaking in front of people. I've learned to be quiet, though, you know, although there's been times when everything in my being said, you've got to say this, whatever it is that's on your mind, and was quiet anyway. I've learned that there. I didn't learn that anyplace else.
There's some stuff, too. The biggest one I've learned is I've heard positive messages from people that I wouldn't think of as a positive person. and wouldn't think of as somebody I would even care to be around. And I've heard something out of them that I really needed to hear. Yeah. And that's from practicing that patience. That's from, you know, learning these things and, you know, from being there. So there's a definitely positive out of Nate. I don't know. What's that, like the flower growing out of the concrete or whatever kind of thing?
Well, your question, hold that thought for a minute. You had a question, though.
I have a feel of like guilty feeling.
Oh, for wanting to get up and leave, or
Is that should I have a guilty feeling, or should I go with my thought?
You probably, like most of us, even though we got messed up, probably had some things in our raising that said you just don't stand up and leave, or you know, there's some basic life skills that we feel like, gosh, is that rude? Or, you know, should I do that? I'm going to feel bad if I do. I mean, some of that's just natural.
Being a non-smoker doesn't make that easy. We can't just go smoke like the other ones can if we don't. If we hear something we
don't
like.
Well, you know, and if you're feeling something anyways, I mean, if you get a feeling that makes you want to leave, and then you put on top of that the guilt of leaving, you're beating yourself up. You know, bottom line, and I'm very comfortable with this now, I go to the meeting for myself. I don't care, you know, what anybody else thinks, you know, because I'm going there to learn. And bottom line, that's it. You know, the patience and the tolerance was the biggest thing that I had to bring into my life.
Uh-huh.
And it happens everywhere, you know, and AA is a big place because there's so many different people who have the same common problem, you know, the alcoholism. And yeah, you know, and this happens a lot with newcomers, and I'm not saying anything bad, you know, I mean, because when newcomers come in, you can see the difference between them and the old timers because they're talking about things that are happening in their life right now.
Sure. Okay?
They haven't gone to that point to where they can start talking what they're reading.
Solution and all that kind
of stuff.
They're right
in
the mess right
now. Yeah. Holding on as best they can. And they're going to talk about things that are happening in their life
relevant
right now because they want it to get better.
That was important for me in my early recovery, to share that.
Yeah.
Not have somebody say, you need to be quiet.
Oh, I remember when I heard it. So-called old timer, you know, never. I don't think he's ever read the book or done anything. But yeah, I remember him telling when a newcomer shared, and then right after that, he shared how people shouldn't share. So that's, are we teaching poison in meetings sometimes? Yeah, I needed to in mine, and I instantly, my face almost turned red. I didn't feel like I needed to leave that meeting, but I felt a responsibility to tell that person to do that. They need to say what they need to say.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because for some of us, this is the very first time. This is the very first time we felt comfortable to even open up a little bit.
That's why.
Somebody say, you just need to be quiet.
And you know, you see somebody who comes in and they're introverted, they're in a shell, and they're hurting bad.
I was big time.
Yeah. And they hit their 30 days and they're smiling from ear to ear because they know that they have some place to go where they can talk and people are going to listen.
And the big,
you've got to respect that from the very first person to the person who's been there the longest.
Yeah.
I think respect is one of the biggest things to, I mean, and that's just, I mean, you're changing your life for the better. You know, why not give somebody the benefit of the doubt?
It's like Darlene says, it's only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or less.
Yeah. You know, if somebody is meeting dependent and they got to be there every day, great, you know, but focus on yourself. You know, that's what you're there to do, is to get better, not to get, I mean, you're going
to
give,
I'm there to
what
also,
you have. Yeah.
I'm also there to give it away too.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Just so I can get better. I wanted to, you know, it's not necessarily a selfish thing. I'm there to share what I have too with other people, you know, but I feel like if I can't share that and I don't really need something, then maybe I should not be there that day. But then again, my phone is always on, and I'm always willing to talk or work with another, you know, alcoholic or addict or anything. I'm always willing to work with another person, but just that meeting specific, if I feel like I can't be there that day, I just better not be there that day. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Meetings by themselves aren't going to get or keep anybody sober any more than going to church is going to get somebody saved. You know what I'm saying?
And by sober, you mean like of mind and body,
yes.
Right? Because
yes.
I've seen
I'm not
people
talking
that,
about dry. I'm talking
because I've
about
seen
sober.
Some people be able to not drink by going to a lot of meetings. Sure. Just the accountability alone is enough to hold
yeah.
them, I guess.
Yeah, and they very well, they're probably not true alcoholics. Unless, I mean, I'm talking about...
Or dry drunks,
yeah.
I've seen.
Because if meetings is going to do it, and no spiritual connection with the Creator is necessary, then the person's probably just a problem drinker, and their problem solved, you know. That at least that's been this alcoholic's experience.
Well, they...
And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There's nothing wrong with being a problem drinker and figuring out a way... To that not to be a problem anymore.
That
that's
reminds me
awesome.
Of a thing I saw on Facebook a while ago. Somebody said something, you know, that they, you know, they're like, you know, recovery's great and this is great, but, you know, kind of sick of hearing it. And then somebody's like, agreed, like, me too, you know, I went there and I did that, you know, so big deal. I'm not doing, you know, they're not doing drugs. And I'm like, well, then you're probably just were a drug abuser. You know, from my point, I can't quit on my own and I can't stay quit for very long if I'm able to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of those people just don't get it that are able to do that as well. And it's almost frustrating to see.
Now,
that.
here's some really important reasons why to go to meetings. First of all, where are you going to hear the stuff that teaches you not to become meeting dependent if you haven't gone to a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to meet the people, right, that you have learned to become accountable to if you don't go to meetings? You know, where are you going to pick up the literature that you never heard of before?
Exactly.
If you don't go to meetings.
So there's a good key balance you need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in early, I would not shy away from individual work with another person who's had some great sober time, not just you know, clean time. Definitely some good. Also, give the book a try.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of it. That's the one thing that has saved me in this. And it's not the book, the pages itself. It's, you know, what I've found through that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, truly saved me. So,
I think that, addiction would suggest that you're not in control. The substance or whatever it is the one that's calling the shots. So if a person, I've heard the slogan, well, I'm addicted to Jesus now, or I'm addicted to God now, or I'm addicted to going to meetings now, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing.
No, that's a...
You know, I don't want to become... Now, as far as being addicted to God, yes, I want to be totally dependent on Him, but there's a difference between being dependent on something and being addicted to it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to convince myself that I have a higher power and He's helping me. I mean, it's something that I have to feel inside. And I do...
So you need to know it, not just believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I do truly... I see it every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything. And that's the fact that I've come back from a place where I was ready to just end it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I appreciate, you know, each day. And some days are hard. I went through a 3-week spell here just recently where it was tough and I withdrew. But I knew that I had to pull myself out of it or something drastic was going to happen. And I opened up to my mother.
Hmm.
I said, Mom, I'm going to drink. This is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, I realized I know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there before,
mm-hmm.
you know, got myself back to meetings, got myself back in here, and I did it on my own. You know, I had to get rides.
Right.
You know,
what do you mean by I did it on my own? Did you have,
well,
I'm just curious.
I didn't allow other people to make the decisions for me.
I mean,
the spirituality.
Okay.
Was
I was just.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, my faith is always there whether I'm thinking about it or not, you know. But what I mean, I did it on my own, was I realized that I was going in a bad direction and I couldn't do that anymore.
Okay, I was just curious. I didn't know what we were
doing. Well, no, you brought up a good point, you know. And I needed to get to a meeting. But after a week of meetings, I got back into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there you have the confidence, the courage, and the faith to know that you have the ability to make it as long as you are able to rely on your higher power.
Yeah, if you're leaning on his power, you'll be all right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where I went from the need to the want. You know, I want to go to meetings.
I absolutely, it just drives me crazy. You know,
yeah, yesterday, oh, sorry.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, and that was a weird thing about yesterday. I'm like, I really want to go to a meeting today. I hadn't had that feeling in a while because I did become burnt out almost.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Devin, have you ever heard anybody say that meetings or the program or the fellowship, and then there's a difference, but any of those things are for people that want it, not for people who need it?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Did that rub you the wrong way?
It confused me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depends on how I think about it. I can get rubbed the wrong way by that, too. And there's two different things I could think of.
Because there's a lot. And then I hear this people say, well, we have a group of people, and none of them are court-ordered here. Well, you know what?
Get off your high horse, seriously.
Let me tell you something. Whatever it is that is drawing you to a meeting, whatever God is using to pull you into a meeting, I don't care if it's the court, I don't care if it's your own conscience, I don't care if it's your desire or your lack of desire, whatever it is, get them through the door.
Yeah.
When I came in, I wanted a solution, but I can't tell you that I wanted that solution.
No, I didn't either.
You know, so if you're telling me this isn't for me because I don't want it, you know, I don't have this deep desire to come into a 12-step meeting and be part of and all this stuff. Listen, there are many times I don't want it, but I definitely need it. Mm-hmm. So when people say, you know, this is for people that want it, not need it, that's a bunch of horse manure, as my mother would say.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think also I was just thinking about the court-ordered thing. I look at some who really, really didn't want it, and they're probably not going to get it if they really, really don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're closing yourself off entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think I can look at one of the people that we have in ours that was originally court ordered, and they have quite a few years now. They're one of the people I look up to more than a lot of the other people in there. They have something you want. When you look at them, you're like, I want something that guy has. And I think, and that's actually your sponsor, Devin, that I can think of that is one of them.
Oh, okay, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you can look at that. So that whole quarter thing, that doesn't mean anything. You look at some of the people who got that judge nudge, and it really affected. It's the best thing that happened to their life. And then there's a lot where they weren't ready yet is my only thought.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You never want to go to a meeting? You need to go?
No. I said there are times when I don't want to go, but I do need to go.
Because I think that the feeling
I want to go most of the time.
I think that the feeling of need, if you keep living in that, that's a form of control.
The feeling of needing to go?
You keep yourself in that fearful area to where if you don't make it to a meeting,
right,
your world's going to come tumbling.
Exactly.
Down. And some people do feel that way. You know, and more power to them to get to a meeting if it's going to keep them from drinking.
But at some point, if your God is the 12 steps, like Mitch says, if your God is the meetings, at some point it's got to go further than that.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to go further than that.
You have to go to the...
In biblical terms, that'd be a false idol, wouldn't it? Or
that's
whatever,
exactly
in
what
biblical
it would be.
Terms.
In biblical terms, that would be considered a false idol. Yes, you bet.
Yeah. You know, there are people, I believe, that have taken it to the next level, you know, and those are people that you're going to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you know, I really listen to everybody, you know, when they speak, because I can get something out of whether it's one word, you know, I get triggered a lot. Because somebody's talking about how they went through something using something like this that maybe I have done.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes me aware that, okay, man, you know, I've got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I get around that situation, I could very easily fall right back, you know? I don't have control of this.
Mm-hmm.
I rely on my higher power to get me through this, and I've never done that before.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel comfortable outside the meetings because I'm in God's hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
You know?
Good, good, good. We're almost out of time. Anybody want to, Devin, you want to chime in there? And
well, as far as wants and needs, do I want it? Do I need it? The first day I walked in the doors, when I woke up in the morning, I didn't say to myself, I need to go. I didn't look in the mirror and say, man, I need to go. You know, I wanted to go find 1111 Bain Street. Just wanted to go walk in. Just wanted to go. I want it now. Yeah, I need it in my life, obviously, looking at the past, looking at what I've done. I need it for many reasons. Do I want to work the program? Yeah. Do I want it in the, for the rest of my life? No. I, you know, that saying, there's no finish line. You know, you're not going to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm stuck in between. I want a diploma after step 12. that was the last thing that me and my sponsor talked about. She says, hey, this is for the rest of your life. And I said, you know what? No, I want a diploma. I want a big, pretty, shiny plaque. But
oh, we can give you one of those.
But you know what? This is an ongoing. There's no finish line. There's no end. There's no stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's that word want again. You know, I want it to be with me for the rest of my life. I want to do this. You know, and why do I want to do it? Because I know that I need to, or I'm going to die. So there's wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I want to be productive. I want peace. You know, I want to have a better relationship with my fellow man. I want to walk in the sunlight of the Spirit. Now, I may not want all the things that I'd have to do to get to there. But there's the comfort in the one day at a time. You know, I don't have to accomplish all those things today. The ongoing in that article that I wrote, or that I read, excuse me, and we'll close with this. It says, and I know the answer to these things this person's saying, but and I think you guys do too. It says the organization, talking about Alcoholics Anonymous, is notoriously difficult to study. Thanks to its insistence on anonymity and its fluid membership and AA's methods, which require surrender to a vaguely defined higher power, involves the kind of spiritual revelations that neuroscientists have only begun to explore. What we do know, however, is that despite all we've learned over the past few decades about psychology, neurology, and human behavior, contemporary medicine has yet to devise anything that works better. In my 20 years of treating addicts, I've never seen anything else that comes close to the 12 steps, says Dr. Drew Penske, the addiction medicine specialist who hosts VH1 Celebrity Rehab. In my world, if someone says they don't want to do the 12 steps, I know they're probably not going to get better.
Well, there you have it. Opinionated? Perhaps. Let us know what you think. You can email us here at Take 12 Radio, that's TAKE, the number 12, radio@comcast.net. Our comments are on the podcasting platforms that you may be tuning into. Hey, listen, our closing song for this week is by recovery recording artist and friend of Take 12 Recovery Radio, Leah Martinson. It's entitled The Road to Recovery. Here's Leah.
On the road to recovery, we celebrate. On the road. change myself. You have the means to save me. After I've tried everything else, oh, you paved the way to forgiveness, so I could learn how to forgive.
Martinson, Road to Recovery. Hey, a special thank you to my former co-hosts, Brad and Mason, and our guest, Devin, for contributing to Take 12 Recovery Radio. Even though that was quite a few years ago, our thoughts are still with you guys. Thank you so much. We love you and think of you often. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family. And we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Kitty, 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 kitty.